Have you ever felt like someone was watching you in your own home? For Tana, the protagonist of Vera Valentine's Unhinged, that feeling wasn't paranoia. It was her front door, literally watching her every move with supernatural awareness. This unexpected paranormal romance has become a viral sensation on BookTok, with readers praising its unique premise and steamy scenes that somehow make the concept of door-human romance not just palatable, but genuinely moving. Valentine, known for her boundary-pushing paranormal romances, has created what the New York Times called the most original supernatural love story of the decade. Even celebrities like Lizzo have posted about it, with the singer tweeting, "Just finished Unhinged, and I'll never look at my front door the same way again." The novel has sparked countless memes and even a TikTok challenge where users sensually clean their doorknobs, a nod to one of the book's most memorable scenes. From the very first page, we're introduced to an unusual narrator, a sentient front door who has fallen deeply in love with its tenant, Tana. The door's perspective is surprisingly tender and thoughtful, as it observes Tana's daily routines with admiration. When she leans against it to check the peephole, the door feels a thrill of connection. During hot summer days, it watches her dance around in minimal clothing, not with leering objectification, but with genuine affection for her uninhibited joy. The door's sentience isn't explained immediately, leaving readers to wonder about its origins. This mystery adds depth to what could otherwise be a one-note premise. The door has witnessed previous tenants come and go, but none have treated it with the gentle respect that Tana shows. She never slams it shut, always locks it carefully, and sometimes even leans her forehead against it when having a difficult day, as if sharing her burdens. What elevates this beyond mere voyeurism is the door's growing concern for Tana's safety. It notices the predatory behavior of Randall, the building's superintendent, whose interest in Tana has become increasingly aggressive. The door recalls a chilling incident when a woman who resembled Tana disappeared into the woods with Randall and never returned. This memory haunts the door, especially as it observes Randall's escalating behavior when Tana politely dismisses him from her apartment. The door's helplessness in its fixed position creates genuine tension. Despite its awareness and desire to protect Tana, it remains trapped in its wooden form, unable to warn her or intervene. This frustration is palpable when Randall lingers too long in the apartment or when his gaze follows Tana with unsettling intensity. The door describes Randall looking at her like a meal rather than a tenant, a visceral description that captures the superintendent's predatory nature. What makes this section particularly effective is how Valentine transforms an everyday object into a character with depth and motivation. The door's observations about human behavior reveal surprising insights, as when it notices how Tana's smile doesn't reach her eyes when she's uncomfortable, or how Randall's knuckles are stained yellow from nicotine. These details create a rich sensory experience while establishing the door as a reliable, if unusual, witness to the brewing danger. The stakes escalate dramatically when a police officer visits Tana's apartment, showing her a photo of a missing woman who bears a striking resemblance to her. This is the same woman the door witnessed leaving with Randall and never returning, confirming its worst fears. The door's narrative becomes increasingly urgent as it overhears the officer discussing canine units and profilers with his chief, a clear indication they're searching for a body. The atmosphere of dread thickens when Randall visits Tana that evening, asking pointed questions about her conversation with the police. The door observes how Tana wisely reveals minimal information, sensing on some level that Randall poses a threat. The superintendent's unsettling comments about being concerned for his favorite tenant's safety carry sinister undertones, especially when he touches the doorframe possessively as he leaves. Valentine skillfully builds tension through environmental cues. Thunder rumbles ominously outside as the door wishes it could break free of its hinges to protect Tana. This pathetic fallacy underscores the brewing danger while highlighting the door's frustration at its immobility. The contrast between the door's awareness and its inability to act creates a unique form of dramatic irony that keeps readers on edge. The sense of impending danger intensifies during a power outage caused by a thunderstorm. In this darkness, the supernatural elements of the story begin to emerge more clearly. The door's fears for Tana's safety take on new urgency as it becomes increasingly convinced that Randall has murderous intentions. The isolation created by the power outage amplifies the vulnerability of Tana's position, alone in her apartment with only an inanimate, though sentient, door between her and potential danger. What makes this section particularly effective is how Valentine weaves together the supernatural premise with a very real human threat. While the concept of a sentient door might initially seem whimsical, the danger posed by Randall grounds the story in genuine fear. This juxtaposition creates a unique tension where readers simultaneously engage with fantastical elements while feeling the very real stakes of Tana's predicament. Just when readers might think they've grasped the premise of a sentient door protecting its tenant, Valentine introduces another supernatural layer that elevates the story beyond its initial concept. During the thunderstorm power outage, a glowing man in white robes and sandals approaches the door. This visitor introduces himself as a god, strongly implied to be Zeus, who is making amends to Hera for his numerous affairs. The god reveals that the door is made from his sacred oak tree and possesses divine lineage, half-dryad, with godly blood. This unexpected mythological connection transforms our understanding of the door's sentience. What seemed like an arbitrary supernatural premise now connects to the rich tradition of Greek mythology, where dryads, tree nymphs, and divine transformations are common narrative elements. Zeus grants the door a remarkable opportunity, one night to enter Tana's dreams and convince her to help free him from his door form through intimate contact. This directive introduces both the possibility of the door becoming human and a clear path to the romantic elements promised by the book's categorization as paranormal romance. Before departing, Zeus confirms the door's fears about Randall, warning that he has already killed a woman and presenting a clear threat to Tana's safety. The introduction of Greek mythology adds depth to what might otherwise be a straightforward paranormal premise. It connects the contemporary setting to ancient traditions of metamorphosis and divine intervention. The door's lineage as potentially Zeus's son creates a bridge between mundane reality and mythological wonder. This revelation also explains the door's unusual sentience. It isn't simply a magical anomaly, but a being with divine heritage trapped in wooden form. Valentine handles this mythological element with a light touch, avoiding heavy exposition about Greek pantheons in favor of focusing on the immediate implications for the door and Tana. The god's appearance is brief but impactful, providing just enough information to expand the story's scope without derailing its intimate focus on the relationship between the door and its tenant. The door's initial failure to enter Tana's dreams, despite trying all night, creates additional tension. This obstacle emphasizes that even with divine intervention, the connection between door and human remains tenuous and uncertain. The door's desperation to warn Tana about the danger she faces adds emotional urgency to its attempts to bridge the gap between their worlds. When the door finally succeeds in entering Tana's dreams, the encounter is fraught with urgency and disbelief. The door manifests as a handsome man trying desperately to convince Tana of the danger she's in. Her initial dismissal of his warnings as just a dream creates frustration for both the door and readers who understand the very real threat Randall poses. The dream sequence allows the door to reveal crucial information. Randall is a murderer who has already broken into her apartment and stolen her underwear. This violation of Tana's private space carries horrifying implications. If Randall could enter undetected to steal intimate items, he could just as easily harm her in her sleep. The realization hits Tana with appropriate horror, breaking through her initial skepticism about this strange dream visitor. As Tana embraces the doorman for comfort, the physical connection between them becomes emotionally charged. The dream begins to fade just as the door tries to explain its request for physical intimacy, the act that could potentially free it from its wooden form. This interrupted explanation creates narrative tension that carries forward into Tana's waking life, where she must decide whether to trust what seemed like merely a strange dream. Upon waking, Tana largely ignores the door, unsure whether to believe her dream experience. This skepticism feels realistic. Who would immediately accept that their front door is sentient and trying to communicate through dreams? Her hesitation creates a gap between what readers know, that the door's warnings are legitimate, and what Tana believes, generating suspense as we wait for her to recognize the danger. The validation of the door's warnings comes in a chilling sequence when Tana leaves for grocery shopping. While she's gone, Randall uses a strange key to enter her apartment where he empties an entire pill bottle into her orange juice and steals another pair of her underwear. This confirmation of Randall's predatory behavior raises the stakes dramatically. He's not just invading her privacy, but actively attempting to harm her. When Tana returns and discovers her underwear on the floor, dropped by Randall during his hasty exit, the door's warnings are suddenly validated. This physical evidence forces her to confront the reality of the threat and reconsider the strange dream that warned her about precisely this danger. After discovering evidence of Randall's intrusion, Tana faces a bizarre choice. Should she attempt intimate contact with her front door based on instructions from a dream? Valentine handles this potentially absurd premise with surprising emotional authenticity. Tana questions her sanity as she talks to the door, acknowledging the strangeness of the situation, while her fear of Randall pushes her to consider even the most unusual solutions. What follows is one of the most distinctive intimate scenes in paranormal romance literature. Tana approaches the situation with practical considerations that ground the fantastical premise. She cleans the doorknobs thoroughly with disinfectant spray before proceeding, and even places a condom over it for hygiene reasons. These practical details add both humor and believability to an inherently surreal scenario. The scene unfolds with Tana positioning an ottoman against the door and using her vibrator while backing onto the doorknob. Valentine describes this encounter with attention to both physical sensation and emotional vulnerability. Despite initial difficulty accommodating its size, Tana reaches a powerful orgasm. The combination of explicit physical description and emotional context elevates this beyond mere shock value, presenting it as a genuine connection between two beings despite their radically different forms. After this encounter, Tana kisses the door and heads to shower, believing nothing magical had happened despite the intensity of the experience. This moment of doubt creates tension. Did the ritual fail? Was the dream merely a product of her imagination? The uncertainty lingers as Tana walks away, leaving readers to wonder whether her unusual act of intimacy will have any supernatural consequences. The payoff comes immediately in the next chapter, when the door's perception suddenly changes. Its doorframe dissolves as it transforms into a human man with hands, feet, and appropriate anatomy. This transformation scene is both triumphant and humorous, as the newly human door finds himself naked in the hallway, observed by a scandalized neighbor walking her chihuahua. When Tana emerges from her shower to find a strange naked man where her door should be, her reaction of screaming and threatening him with a spatula feels entirely appropriate. Her initial rejection of his explanation, that he's her transformed door, captures the realistic disbelief anyone would feel in such a bizarre situation. This grounding in realistic human reactions helps readers navigate the supernatural premise. The transformation from door to man marks a pivotal shift in the narrative. Now in human form, the former door can finally act on his protective instincts toward Tana. This newfound agency is immediately put to use when he prevents her from drinking the orange juice Randall poisoned, potentially saving her life. The moment when Tana examines the container and finds suspicious sediment creates a powerful realization. Without the door's intervention, she could have died. Tana's breakdown at this revelation feels earned after the tension that has built throughout the story. As she collapses in tears, the former door comforts her physically for the first time, promising protection while she worries about the practical problem of now having no front door. This moment balances supernatural elements with mundane concerns in a way that grounds the fantasy. Tana gives her transformed door a name, Dries, inspired by an actor she admires. This naming represents her acceptance of his new form and the beginning of their relationship as two humans rather than human and object. Their first activities together have a charming domesticity, ordering a replacement door through a delivery app and watching a movie together. These ordinary moments contrast with the extraordinary circumstances of their meeting, creating a relatable emotional core within the supernatural premise. When Tana falls asleep against him, Dries strokes her hair with obvious affection. His complete devotion to her welfare feels earned rather than obsessive because we understand its origins in his long vigil as her door. When the delivery person arrives with the new door, Dries experiences complex emotions about being replaced by an inanimate object, a clever reversal of the usual anxiety about being replaced by someone more attractive or interesting. Dries installs the new door while Tana sleeps, choosing a model with a handle rather than a knob to avoid jealousy, a humorous acknowledgement of their unusual situation. This thoughtful act demonstrates his continued protective nature even in human form. When he presents her with the keys upon waking, the gesture symbolizes his transition from being the barrier between Tana and the world to being her partner in facing threats together. With Dries now in human form, he and Tana must decide how to address the threat Randall poses. Their conversation reveals the complexities of dealing with such danger. Calling the police might not help if they don't believe her about the poisoned orange juice, and Randall could retaliate while out on bond. Additionally, Dries' lack of identification would raise questions they can't easily answer. These practical considerations feel realistic, despite the supernatural context of their relationship. Dries promises they'll find another way to end the threat, determined that Tana shouldn't have to live in fear. This commitment demonstrates his transition from passive observer to active protector. Their partnership in facing danger together creates an emotional foundation for their developing romance. As they settle into their new dynamic, Tana takes Dries shopping for proper clothes to replace her ex's sweatpants and her two small pink flip-flops. This mundane activity is infused with humor when an elderly woman nearly crashes her cart while ogling the attractive Dries. Tana's jealous reaction, pulling a black t-shirt over his head to stop the attention, reveals her growing possessiveness. Dries responds by kissing her thoroughly in public, marking their first romantic interaction outside the apartment. Their relationship develops further when they return home, and Dries cleans everything Randall might have touched, explaining the superintendent's disturbing behavior. Tana is horrified to learn Randall had been in her bedroom and immediately washes her linens. When Dries offers to clean her furniture too, she calls him a good door, triggering an unexpected arousal that leads to their first sexual encounter as two humans. This intimate scene reveals Dries' innocence despite his previous observations of human behavior. When he experiences his first orgasm, he collapses to his knees in blissful shock. Tana's amusement at his reaction, "I'm not sure I've ever seen a man completely reboot his hard drive over it," adds humor while highlighting his unique perspective as a formerly inanimate object experiencing human sensations for the first time. The developing romance between Tana and Dries reaches its critical turning point during a rain-soaked evening when Randall forces his way into the apartment, drunk and unsteady, brandishing a .38 revolver. The metallic smell of rain mingles with the sharp scent of whiskey as he stumbles through the doorway. This confrontation transforms the simmering threat that has haunted the building's halls into immediate danger. Randall's accusations spiral from coherent anger about Tana reporting him to authorities into increasingly unstable rambling about being a good guy to someone named Sarah. His slurred words about teaching her a lesson and making things right reveal both his unhinged mental state and confirm his sinister connection to the missing woman. Tana, drawing on her experience handling volatile situations at the women's shelter, attempts to de-escalate by speaking in calm, measured tones while subtly positioning herself between Randall and the hallway where Dries remains hidden. Her fingers tap a silent warning against her thigh, their agreed-upon signal for danger. Despite her clear signal for Dryce to stay concealed, his protective instincts, newly awakened through his human experiences, drive him to action. He charges down the hallway as Tana dives behind the weathered leather armchair, her movement creating a crucial distraction. The ensuing struggle unfolds in violent fragments, Dryce's hands closing around Randall's wrist, trying to force the gun upward, Tana swinging her grandmother's crystal vase in a desperate arc, the sharp crack as it connects with Randall's skull. In the confusion, the gun discharges with a deafening report that seems to shake the apartment's foundations. Dryce feels warmth spreading across his chest before the cold heaviness begins seeping through his limbs. This sacrifice marks the completion of Dryce's transformation from passive observer to active guardian. His willingness to put himself between Tana and danger, despite having experienced human form for mere weeks, demonstrates how deeply his capacity for love has developed. As consciousness slips away from him like water through cupped hands, his thoughts remain fixed on Tana's safety rather than his own fate, a stark contrast to his earlier self-focused existence as a door. When awareness returns to Dryce, he finds himself transformed back into his wooden form, once again a door with apartment number 2B, now marked by a bullet hole just below the brass numbers. This return creates a cruel reversal. Having experienced the full spectrum of human sensation and connection with Tana, he's now imprisoned again in silent wood, unable to move or communicate. His consciousness comes in disconnected fragments, forensics teams photographing blood spatter patterns, Tana's tear-stained face as she gives her statement to detectives, Randall's body being zipped into a black bag, and Officer Holden directing a search team toward the wooded area behind the building where Sarah's remains would later be discovered. This period of enforced observation mirrors Dryce's original state, but parries deeper tragedy because he now understands precisely what he's lost. The bullet hole in his wooden form serves as both a physical reminder of his sacrifice and a window through which he watches life without him. His fragmented awareness creates a dreamlike quality that reflects his injured state. While the steady parade of investigators and grieving neighbors pass before him like scenes from a film he can no longer participate in. After what feels like an eternity to Dryce, Tana returns and speaks directly to the door. She reveals that several months have passed since the shooting, during which the police investigation confirmed Randall had killed that poor girl, Sarah. Tana has had the door returned after the investigation and has attempted to repair the bullet hole with wood putty, unsure whether her experiences with Dryce were real or a fever dream. This uncertainty creates emotional tension. Tana has been grieving the loss of Dryce without knowing if their connection was genuine. Her efforts to repair the bullet hole represent her desire to heal both the physical damage and the emotional wound of his loss. Her confession that she's been praying for his return reveals the depth of her feelings for him, despite their unusual beginning. The supernatural elements return when Tana describes being visited in a nightmare by a beautiful Greek woman, implied to be Hera, who explained how to bring Dryce back. Following this divine guidance, Tana performs the same intimate act that originally transformed him, stretching a condom over the doorknob and straddling it while wearing almost nothing. The transformation scene is both sensual and triumphant as Dryce returns to his human form with Tana in his lap. Their reunion is passionate and emotional, with Tana thanking Hera between kisses. This divine intervention completes the mythological framework established earlier, suggesting that the gods have taken an interest in their unusual romance. The epilogue reveals that, according to Hera, Dryce will transform back into a door every full moon, requiring them to repeat the ritual to return him to human form. Eventually, he'll gain more control over the transformation. This cyclical pattern ensures their relationship will always maintain its supernatural element while allowing them to build a life together. The story concludes with the revelation that Zeus has left Dryce a gift, a wallet containing identification documents for Dryce's lock, money, and a business card from an antiques dealer with a note. Tell him Dad sent you, and take good care of that beautiful girl. A gold coin falls out, suggesting Zeus has learned something about responsibility from this experience. As Dries takes Tana's hand, ready to follow the god's instructions to care for his beautiful girl, their unusual love story comes full circle. What began as a door's silent vigil has transformed into a relationship blessed by the gods themselves, proving that love truly can transcend all forms, even the most solid and wooden ones.